Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry. And there is an active poll question out there right now, and I understand this poll is very, very close. What is the YouTube poll for the day?
It is, do you support the foreign aid package passed by the House? Yes for both, yes for Ukraine, yes for Israel, or no?
It's incredibly close.
Like, I'm just thrilled we're in such a position. We have so much money here that we can just give out all this money to other countries. I mean, we are just completely flushed with cash as a country, and this is no problem, right? So we literally don't have to worry about the money going out.
Yeah, it's great. It's always the position that we're in that we can just... That's what's great about having the printing press, is if you need more money, you can just make it. You just right. print more money or borrow it from other people who have your best interest in mind and would love
like
to see you succeed.
Your great-grandchildren.
Your great-grandchildren, China.
Oh, yeah. Just in China, yeah. Who was it? Was it Rand Paul? I love Rand Paul, by the way. But was it him that essentially said, how insane is it that we are giving money to countries we're borrowing money from? This is so stupid.
Yes.
When it comes to places like China.
Borrow money from China to give to Ukraine to fight Russia, who's in bed with China. Okay.
All right. Go vote in that YouTube poll. And I got to say, you guys have really built a fantastic audience based on the amount of comments I'm seeing coming through the video stream. You guys are very active that way. That is fantastic. So congratulations to the Annie Fry Show continuing to build this show. No surprise here because you guys are fantastic. And it's always a pleasure when I get the call. Hey, can you fill in? I get made fun of here in Detroit often, and I've been called a food shamer. Because I make fun of other people's food habits and things. So I'm going to lay out a few examples and you can tell me if really a food shamer is a good thing or a bad thing. Because when I heard some of their eating preferences, immediately I made fun of them and they made fun of me for shaming them for that. This one goes back to last year, and I had a coworker who would go to Taco Bell. He would buy crunchy tacos. He would get home, put them on a plate, crush them up with a fork and eat them like a taco salad. And I said, what are you doing? He did that at work once too. He brought in the Taco Bell, crushed it up. I said, what are you doing? Tacos are self-contained for you to eat directly. You're not supposed to put it on a plate, crush it up and eat it with a fork.
Let's be honest though. Whenever you take that first bite out of a Taco Bell taco, if it's a crunchy taco, it just falls apart anyway.
You have to be very careful. Now, I see like I'm an expert at crunchy tacos now. That's all I eat from Taco Bell. And they're $2 now.
I was going to say,
where did that come from?
Yeah, back a few years ago, I could see making those into a... I don't really like taco salad, so I'm already out of the conversation. But if you liked it, I could see buying two or three at the time, you know, $1 to $1.25 tacos and getting a nice meal out of that, especially if you're going to crunch them all up like that and make one dish. But now, like you said, we just went a couple weekends ago to a soccer tournament, and we were on the road, stopped at a Taco Bell, so this wasn't around here, but it was out in the middle of, I don't know, either Southern Illinois or Indiana or Kentucky around there. And we stopped at a Taco Bell, the soft tacos and the hard tacos, $2.59 a piece.
Oh, no!
Because I thought, oh, we'll just, sure, we'll just fill up the kid with some cheapo tacos and we'll keep moving. Nope.
No.
$7.50 or above, maybe $8 to get three tacos for the boy. Don't
that's
love
disgusting.
That.
Disgusting. What?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if that's around here. I haven't checked around here in the last couple months, but man, it was crazy.
I want to put a side note on the food shaming conversation, because this is what we argued. Because number one, inflation's tough, right? Inflation has been growing, and the cost of food, the materials to make it, the ability to transport it, and the energy cost and things, everything goes up. And when that cost goes up, so does the cost of the goods that you are selling. But I don't think we should be discounting the cost of labor going through the roof too. That is also impacting this. And remember all those memes? They're like, you know, if we continue to rise and the cost of labor continues to go up, your food is going to go up too. And everyone said, oh, you're just crazy conspiracy theorist. Look at Sweden. They pay their people so well, and the cost of a Big Mac's the same. So you're just nuts to think that any price will go up when the cost of labor goes up too. Now we're living at a time where a crunchy taco from Taco Bell's $2.50 because of these factors that are putting into it. And none of it was a conspiracy theory. It was just basic economics. It's insane what we're seeing.
I think that there should be a segment that we do at least once an hour of different things that we think might happen. Oh, but that's just a conspiracy theory. And then we look back at it maybe 6 months and see what of it came true. Yeah. Because the majority of it probably would at this point.
Right.
I mean, it's been a joke for a while.
With the food shaming thing, here's what my other coworker, I'm going to guess he's about 25 years old, single, unmarried, lives in an apartment. And he told me that when he goes out and orders a sandwich at a place, he requests that they cut the crust off. I said, are you a child? You go and you order a sandwich, just regular bread sandwich, whatever it is. Hey, can you cut the crust off? I said that an adult does not do that. He called me a food shamer.
Yeah.
For making fun of him for cutting the crust off at a restaurant. Well,
sometimes people need to be shamed, though. Like, I don't know how, like, you could look the waiter in the eye and say, I need you to cut the crust off of this for me. I mean, you're either super elite or super immature. Yeah. While you're at it, can you peel these grapes?
Yeah. Please? That seems too far. It's like saying, you know what? I want to order a potato skin, but I don't like the skin. Like, you're taking off like a pretty big piece of it. I would be concerned that waiter would say, yeah, I can do that for you. And you come back and that piece of bread
is like a small square,
is like a quarter of the size that it was. Yeah, I took the crust off for you too. I got a little crazy with the knife there.
Yeah, I noticed you don't have any of your finest curly straws out. Could you bring a curly straw for my chocolate milk as well? And I said, you're like a child cutting off the crust. Are you kidding? And he said, stop being a food shamer. Don't shame me because that's the way I like my sandwich.
Now, is this the same friend that was doing the taco salad thing?
Two completely different people. Now okay. They've combined their efforts against me. Like, yeah. They're rallying against me. They're on the same side.
I would say to them, if you're feeling shame, it's because what you're doing is wrong.
What you're doing
now, hang
is
on.
Shameful.
Now, hang on. No, let's not go there. Because there are things that I do. Now, I'll explain this. We did it. We had a big conversation, Ryan Recker, about Dairy Queen blizzards. And the fact that my wife would sometimes say, you know what, I want a blizzard. And she'd want a medium or a small one. Well, then I would go get a large and an extra cup, and then I would dish out as much as I could out of that large into the cup size she wanted, and either keep the rest for myself or keep the rest for her for a later date so I'd have to go get her another one. Now, I got a lot of grief for that.
Did any of that grief come from your wife?
I don't remember, because I don't know that we had that conversation. It was more of an on-air thing.
You haven't talked about it with her
yet? I don't remember. I really don't. So the other day, the show Dude Perfect. Does everybody know what Dude Perfect is?
Yeah,
kind of.
Okay, my kids are really into Dude Perfect. It's like the second biggest YouTube channel in the world or something like that now. Mm-hmm. And it's cool because it's a bunch of guys and they just do trick shots and they're doing all kinds of, you know, let's see if we can fire this rocket into the strat, like crazy stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're Christians although they don't lead with that, but everything's very clean, and you can trust that it's all going to be fine. So we love it. So the kids watch this quite a bit. Well, they're also pretty good at marketing. And they are selling stuff in their shows all the time, which is what you have to do. That's part of the game. And they are now partnered with Smoothie King. And I didn't know this, but my kids were very willing to tell me that we had to go to Smoothie King now because they had a Dude Perfect smoothie.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So, of course, we get into Smoothie King this weekend. And, yes, the Dude Perfect smoothie is there. Yes, it is plastered all over the place. So, a lot of marketing happening. All totally fine. But the smoothie is, like, over $10.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, it's a big one.
One smoothie?
Yes, yes. And so, of course, each of my kids wants this. Even my daughter likes the show. Uh-huh. Not as much as the boys, but she wants one. And then I see a smoothie and I want one. So if I'm going to go to Smoothie King and order these things, it was going to be, after tax, above like $45 to get some smoothies.
How big is this $10 smoothie?
It is whatever the size of this.
So like a 40-ounce.
It's a pretty big smoothie.
Yeah, that's a 40-ounce cup.
Not quite 40, but I'd say close to
it. Okay, let's call it 32.
And you get to keep the cup.
Okay.
Okay, so that's part of it. So
is it a reusable metal?
No, it's not metal. It's plastic, but it's one of those that you end up throwing in the bathtub, and the kids use that as a bathtub
cup. You put it in your garage and use it to scoop the salt or something.
Exactly. It's one of those. So it lasts a couple years, and then it's going to fall apart. But it's cool. You get to keep the cup, especially when you're a big fan of the show. So instead of getting four smoothies, I said, okay, kids, these are pretty big. Let's get two, and each of us gets half, or we'll get cups and share them out. Now, do I get shamed for that? Because it seems to me like that was just very economical.
Question. Would your kid have finished a 32-ounce smoothie or a 40-ounce smoothie?
Very possibly at least gotten close to it.
All of them would have?
I know I would have. Personally, I would have drank
I know one. You would have, but I'm asking about your kids, the Twiggins and...
One of them probably could have.
So one of them.
Two of them... Might have.
So
now the littlest one wasn't.
Definitely not on the littlest one.
Yeah.
It's different to me because you're being upfront with them and you're being economical in the sense that you're not going to be wasting the smoothie. So the idea is not to necessarily to save money, but it would be wasteful to get a 40-ounce smoothie for a kid that's not going to finish it.
This is kind of the same mentality as the hand-me-downs with the kids. You know, you don't want the older brother's shoes. You want brand new shoes. So when you go to some place, you want to be the one that has it's not necessarily a status thing, but it feels good to have something that's complete, packaged in a way. And you don't mind paying $10 when someone else is paying for it. And the price is irrelevant when you're a child. You just like the idea that you are getting this fully packaged thing that you saw on television that was marketed to you directly as a child. What I can say when it comes to some of these things, $10 milkshake, you think they're selling out of these things? Like, is it like, what's the Prime drink? What was the one water that the kids liked for a while that was selling out? Yeah.
Liquid Death.
The Stanley Cups were selling out too. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a thing that people go crazy for a little bit and then they lose interest in it. This is just, it'll be fast lost interest. The generic whatever afterwards going to taste just as good as the $10 one, and no one's going to want the $10 one at a certain point.
Yeah, well, but I think that's true, but I also think that it's possible that even a regular smoothie of that size at Smoothie King might cost about $10.
Incredibly expensive.
Yeah. Now, I will thank you. I want to thank you to all of the chat who's reaching out, and I want to highlight these. Jackie saying Smart Wiggins.
Yeah, you described a completely different situation.
Amanda saying completely acceptable. So, that's how we roll too.
The other one was deceitful, and then you were just giving her part of the fresh shake so that the next time, whenever she wanted another Blizzard, you could go into the freezer and get the one that had been frozen for however long that time period was, which prompted us to try day-old Blizzards on the show and then week-old Blizzards and whatnot.
How do you think those turned out, Wrecker?
Great.
Have you had day-olds or week-old Blizzards?
All the time.
Not as good.
They're no big deal.
They take one step down after fresh, and then they just about stay there.
Yeah, but that one step down is one step down.
Does
Mrs. Wiggins not deserve the best?
I'm not going to frame this argument in that way. I disagree with your premise.
It doesn't take a step down. It tastes exactly the same after. You think it tastes worse?
It gets freezer burn for sure.
How, What do? You like just eat it straight out of the freezer, or do you let it sit on the counter for about an hour so it thaws?
Well, you gotta let it sit a little bit.
But it still separates in the freezer. You get those ice crystals on top, and it's just not as good.
Yeah.
I had some other things I wanted to bring up to you, but I know we're running out of time. And this is only a thing that dads do, Wiggins, and I was going to bring that up to you. Maybe we save that for later. Do you see that one story about the breastfeeding mom that was kicked out of the comedy show?
I did now.
Well,
no.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah.
And I pretty much type in breastfeeding mom at the beginning of every show, too, and I didn't even see that.
Every show, you just need to check in real quick and see if there's been any news.
Yeah.
Are you saying your Google alerts aren't working on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know how to do that. I just like typing it in.
Yeah, you're at the computer. Let's see. It's so fascinating. IT tech will come in and be like, man, there's a lot of people searching breastfeeding moms on this computer. I don't know what's going
on. It's always when Wiggins logs in.
It's such a strange thing. What is going on with that? You know, maybe we could talk about that. There's another story from The Intercept, and they asked the question, why are journalists on TikTok to begin with? Like, what are you going to accomplish on a platform like that? Is that even a place for journalists? And then I saw this, probably the creepiest of all mugshots.
Oh, man.
And the headline, trans sex offender busted allegedly trying to abduct elementary school kids. And when you see the mugshot of this person, it's so much worse than what you're imagining in your head. And it's probably what you're in your head is probably bad enough. So we got a lot to get to on the show here today. And I got to say, there are so many other things I wanted to talk about. I just don't know how much time we have, but we're going to try to fit it all in. Plus your poll comments. We're going to look at those in the view on the YouTube poll. We'll get to all of those things this hour. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in 97.1 FM Talk.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Back. I'm Ryan Recker, and yeah, the poll is very close on the YouTube page right now. If you want to go vote for that, you better go do it soon. And I got to say that we talk about the poll. I can't say I've ever once gone and voted on the poll while I'm hosting. Should I be doing this? Does Annie normally vote on it while she's hosting?
Yes, I think
so. I don't know if she can vote because when you create the poll, I don't think you can vote in your own poll.
Oh, I got you.
Well, that's true, but you can log in from a different account and vote. That's usually what I do.
So you're saying I should have multiple burner accounts ready at any time?
Yes,
so
and it pushes our subscribe numbers up. All of them to Annie Frye's YouTube page.
Yeah, exactly.
Like all 1,600 of them.
I got it. I don't know which one to talk to here. I've got a couple of stories, and this is a choose-your-own-adventure. We can talk about TikTok and journalists on TikTok. We can talk about that as a social media platform, or we can talk about the breastfeeding mom that got kicked out of a comedy club. Which one sounds better?
Number two.
All right. Breastfeeding mom kicked out of a comedy club. She was there. And number one, why would you bring your child that is of breastfeeding age into a setting like a comedy club where it's loud and people are drinking and people are trying to enjoy the entertainment, the show, where it's reliant on you to hear what they're saying on stage? It's not just like a visual cue where you're watching a field.
That was my question number one. Thank you.
What's that?
Why would you bring a baby to a comedy club?
Yeah. Oh, you got a bell? Where did that come from?
Oh, right there.
You just have one in case you need it.
Yeah.
So she was kicked out. And apparently the person that was on the stage was like, when you're doing a comedy show, you got the lights on you. You can't really see the audience all that well. So you can't really see like it. All you know is someone's causing a disturbance and it's ruining the experience for the people around them. And you'd normally have hecklers and you tell them to stop. And if they don't stop, you get them kicked out. So in this case, she was ruining it for a lot of different people, kicks the woman out. And then with solidarity, some of these other people inside of the audience say, how dare you do that to a woman who is trying to feed their child at a comedy club? And she goes out and it causes this ruckus. Well, the local news media decides to bring her on and wanting to hear her side of the story. And can't you be more understanding and sympathetic to moms? What, do you hate mothers? Of course you do, you comedian, you. So she goes on this, and it kind of backfired when she got to the interview. Can we play some of that clip?
Is that why
definitely
you were really keen to go to the show?
Yeah, it is. And you feel really isolated, you know, when you have kids and you're sort of, you lose yourself because all you do is really cater to them. And, you know, having kids is a choice, obviously, but that doesn't mean it's an easy thing to do. But, yeah, and you do lose a lot of things, you know. People lose friends. They get, they lose out on doing things that they've always enjoyed. I'm going to expose myself here. So I just thought it'd be really nice to do something that I hadn't done in a while and just sort of get back to sort of a pre-baby me. She's super cranky right now.
Okay, maybe she can go to dad just for a quick second. But like, you know, a mum with three little kids, I reckon you need a laugh. Yeah.
Awkward laugh.
Oh, hard to conduct an interview, and that was what, 25 seconds of crying. So you kind of understand where the comedy club was. You ruin it for all the people around you. It was a comedy festival in Melbourne, and this is in Australia. So you kind of get why maybe they asked her to step out when the baby was crying.
Well, yeah, but I do understand what, and I was actually going to say this before she said this, that when you have a baby, I'm just thinking back, and obviously I was not the mom in the situation, but we had twins. And we felt so landlocked that whole first year that we tried to do stuff as much as we could. I can't say we went to nightclubs or comedy. Now, maybe if it was a festival, it was a little different, because if you have a comedy festival, it could be all day or something.
Yeah.
But we tried to do as much as we could with the kids, because we would get – it was so strange, because you'd get so overwhelmed by everything and also bored at the same time. And so going out and doing the same things we were doing at home, but just somewhere else, was so freeing, or at least had the perception of feeling like maybe we were free for a minute, that I get trying to do stuff with a kid, with a baby. I don't have any problem with that.
It has to be appropriate where other people around you understand, meaning that you're doing an act or you're going to a place where perhaps you understand that kids will act this way, so you can't get mad at them for acting that way. But when you go to a place like a comedy show or a live performance where someone is speaking, and you're there to listen to what the person has to say and enjoy it as entertainment or whatever it may be, and when you take away from that, you realize that maybe that's not an age-appropriate thing. And bringing a 7-month-old that's going to be crying in front of everyone else and getting offended when they ask you to step out while the baby's crying, they backfire and say, this mother is so entitled. And I would say that is somewhat the case. You got to understand that's going to happen when you're not in an appropriate place, honestly.
Yeah. Well, you know, and in this comedy show, and listening to the clip and pulling the audio, one of the things that they do say is that the comedy show was for those that are 15 and older. So this baby didn't meet the minor age requirement and stuff like that. Uh-huh. But I get where the mom's coming from. You know, you're isolated, you're landlocked. She said that all she ever does is breastfeed. She doesn't have formula. She doesn't do any of that other stuff. So she can't be away from the baby. So she couldn't have gotten a sitter and gotten some time away or anything like that. But I'm kind of with Ryan here. You got to find appropriate places to do this. And
yeah, because I would make the same argument even if it was age appropriate, even if it was very clean comedy. I mean, church is a great example.
Yep.
You don't want parents to not bring their babies to church. You want them to come. But if you're in a service and the baby's just going nuts, you do expect that the mom is going to step out for a second, because everybody else is there to hear the sermon, or in this case, the comedy, the show. You can't interrupt their time just because you're trying to create time for yourself. You do have to be respectful of others.
Let's say this. Now, hypothetically, again, I'm not a expert on breastfeeding, but when the baby was 7 months old, are you saying you're not pumping, storing some of that breast milk that could be used when you're not around? I mean, are you saying that even at that age, it's necessary for you to only be there to get it straight from the tap?
Well, I can tell you now, we are into territory that I know nothing about. I don't even remember. Yeah, we use formula so much because we having twins, it was like, we can't keep up. You can't
run
keep
out
up.
Of supply, you got to supplement.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know where we're at right now.
Well, I tried pumping to help and it didn't do anything.
You know, such a strange thing to try. And when did you finally figure out it wasn't going to work? Was it like day 3, roughly?
No, it was much later than that.
like I mean, a week
into it. I was very devoted to trying, and it just did not do what I thought. It ended up being more. Never mind. I was kidding.
Honey, I tried. By the way, Dad Talk, Wiggins, I got a question for you. We eat a lot of sandwiches in our house, so we go through bread like crazy. Every morning, I make my kid donkey eggs, so making some toast for that. I make a sandwich for work when I go in later in the night, use bread for that. Kids eat grilled cheese sandwiches. We go through a lot of bread. As a dad, do you feel that your obligation to eat the end pieces of bread? And because I think about it, man, I would throw away so much bread, the end pieces, if we didn't do that. I don't like the end pieces, but I feel like it saves us so much money for the dad to eat it. Is that just the dad's job to eat the end pieces of a loaf of bread?
No, you don't have to eat that, Ryan. I don't know why you
toss
you
them.
Yeah, I either toss them because it depends on how the cut is. If the cut's like a decent piece of bread, I might use it in a sandwich and just make the kids get over it. It's peanut butter and jelly. You're going to like it anyway. Here's the other thing. I feel bad about this, but I do have one kid who he tries to be the best at everything and kind of like I'll do it. If nobody else will do it, I'll do it. You know, he tries to be the good one. Mm-hmm. So if I have a piece of bread like that and I'm like, nobody's going to want the end piece, he'll just go, I'll eat it. Even if he doesn't want to do it just to be the nice one.
Yeah.
And I always take him up on it. So I'm like, okay, go right ahead.
Yeah. And it's not like we're getting good bread. If you go to like a bakery and they have a nice Italian bread and the end pieces are awesome on that. I'm talking, you know, off the shelf at a grocery store. End pieces are always soggy and they're thin sliced and not all that great. But I feel like we'd run out of it. It sounds like you're living the rich life. That's one of the poor luxuries, is throwing out the heels of a slice of bread. That's a poor luxury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we feed them to animals. We're so rich.
We take the ends to the park, give it to ducks.
Yeah, here. We just hold our hands out.
You know, I saw this one.
Am I not kind?
I saw this survey that people are willing to go into debt to go on vacations during the summer. Is that smart? Because my wife would agree that it's a good idea to go into debt to go on vacation, because the experience, you can't get that time back. You know, once the kids are young, that's the one thing you can't buy with money when you have it later down the line. So spend it while you have it now to go take the vacations, do this, do that. But apparently they did a survey and they found that, what was it? A third of people don't have money for vacations, but they go on vacations anyway, or a half of the third or
something.
This
stuff's going to catch up with us.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff is going to catch. I mean, it might be now catching up with us. People are going to start declaring bankruptcy. I have a feeling that 2024 and 25 are not going to be pretty years for the economy.
No.
For the American consumer. But no, this is a bad idea. This is the definition of a luxury item. Like, don't do... I get the argument that, well, the kids are young, we got to have some experiences. But they're not going to know the difference between going... I said the other day, like, to my six-year-old, hey, you know, every year I take one of them on some sort of special little something. Uh-huh. And it's the six-year-old's turn this year. And I said, where do you want to go for your special dad thing this year? And he said, well, I want to do one of two things. I want to go to either Legoland in California, or I want to go to the Arch. And I was like, well, those are two very different things. But in his mind, he just saw them both as cool things. He doesn't think about all the logistics or the money. And so the kids, you can do experiences with kids right up until they're probably in their almost teens, that they're not really going to know a huge difference.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Down in Florida, Orlando, they got that Legoland and Peppa World that are together combined. That's an affordable vacation compared to a Disney.
True.
Disney is so expensive now. And it continues, and it's always been expensive. But California, why would anyone want to go out there?
Well, because we've been to the one in Florida, and so I think he's thinking, I want to go to the other one now. So,
you already been to the California? You've been to the Florida one? Was it fun?
We have. It was during the pandemic. It was like early 21, and it was, I mean, we went to Florida because it was Florida. You know, it was open. Yeah. And yeah, it was fun for that age group. I would say that the reason I would want to take him now is because you get to about 10 years old and you're aging out of Legoland. It's for littler kids.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Bummer. We got a mini Legoland up here. We're going out on a mini vacation. You want to hear how cheap I am?
Yeah, I do.
So Mackinac Island is a very expensive island.
Yeah, it's cool.
And it's super expensive. We're talking like $300-$400 a night at the hotels at these places. very expensive. It's an island that has no cars. So you take a ferry from the northern tip of Michigan, kind of where the bridge is, a little bit to the east of the bridge. And then you take the ferry to the island, and it's all horse-drawn carriages and such. You know, there's no vehicles. With one exception, there's only been a vehicle. But they definitely pay a premium for how beautiful it is out there. I get an email from their people, and they say, hey, we're opening the island for the season. If you want to come and cover it as a news story, we'll give you a night and we'll pay for your ferry and hotel. And I said, here's the deal. If I can bring the family and you make it two nights, it's a deal. And they said, sure.
Wow.
So
cool.
We're going up to Mackinac later this week. And then I'll cover some of the opening of the island and get to enjoy the rest. Now, if it wasn't for that, I don't think I'd ever be able to afford the $400 a night or whatever it is to stay at some of these hotels and things. And it's the same thing in Disney. It's like anymore, you're thinking to yourself, man, how do I not go into debt and still have a good vacation anymore?
Yeah, if you can get a free vacation, you should absolutely take that thing, especially at Mackinac Island. You're going to ride the bike around it?
Yep, absolutely.
That's the best part. It's very fun.
You've been up there, you know?
Yeah, when I was in my mid-20s, my parents went on a vacation. I went, and we all did it.
Beautiful up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Nice little trip. Or the Arch. They picked one or the other.
Or the Arch. Yeah. or I want to see the Mississippi River. Oh, okay.
Bloody Mississippi.
Yeah.
You know, you should have told them, you know, we were saving all that money for vacation, but instead we bought you some Smoothie King.
Right.
And then that really took all our vacation money down the drain. I'm so sorry.
Hey, you wanted the Dude Perfect Smoothie.
You wanted the Dude Perfect Smoothie. All right. So should journalists be on TikTok to begin with? TikTok probably going away. And maybe the creepiest mugshot of all time, a trans sex offender busted allegedly trying to abduct elementary school kids. In your mind, if you haven't seen this mugshot yet, you may have an impression of what this person may look like. It's worse than that. I guarantee you it is worse. So we're going to talk about those things as we get ready to end the show and the last chance to go vote in the poll, right?
Yep. Yeah, we'll share that mugshot on our YouTube stream. So if you're in an area where you can get to the YouTube stream and check it out, please do. It's going to be wild.
Oh boy. All right. I'm Ryan Recker filling in one more time coming up on 97.1 FM Talk. You know, sometimes I just see headlines and I don't care to read the rest of the story, but I can judge everything off of the headline. There's some crazy things going on in the world today. Talking about social media platforms. Well, I guess this is more of a dating app, Grindr. So it's for men seeking men, and they're getting sued for sharing users' HIV status with ad firms. Is it a prerequisite that you have to disclose that to be on the platform? Like when I've never signed up for a social media platform like Facebook, for example, and it said, please list your diseases.
Yeah, I don't know. I really wouldn't know. I've never used Grindr. Brad?
I'm not sure either.
Oh, okay.
Brad, like, oh, I take the pitch. Ryan's like, don't worry, I got it, Brad.
I saw him looking at me.
If you're watching, I did the batting stance and then the head watching the pitch go by. I looked at Ryan. That motion. And then Ryan went ahead and did that.
Now, I mean, it's just the news. We're just talking about the news here. And I've never used the website. So I don't know, Ryan.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. But it's just a weird thing that they would know that. I mean, that seems like a pretty private thing. You wouldn't want to let a tech company know about.
Yeah, but it does seem like something yourself. You would want to know if you were going to hook up on Grindr.
Yeah, but I mean, wouldn't you want to know that if it was just that, but any of the other dating apps?
I mean, yes.
I mean, for me, preferably, I would prefer that you wait until you're married and you have a spouse, and then this is less of an issue.
Yes, but, it is an issue.
The Tinder?
I don't know. Was it there, too?
I don't know. I've never used Tinder.
Probably not. What about the farmer needs a wife or whatever?
Yeah,
I don't know. Ryan?
I've had many gentlemen suitors on farmerdating.com or whatever.
Farmerdating.com.
Start giving, you know, blood samples to sign up. You know, they'll know everything about you. Okay, here's the other one on TikTok. Probably going away, right? TikTok in a year or so, they're probably not going to sell. I guess they could, but probably not. And once they go away, is anyone really going to miss it? I mean, hypothetically speaking, people have VPNs. They can probably fake that they're somewhere else if they really want to still see the comments or the content that is on there. But doesn't almost like 90% of the junk that's posted on there get repurposed on YouTube anyway? So like, is anyone really going to miss the content of that?
I can confidently tell you that none of us are going to miss it.
Miss it.
But
no.
But I do think that there are people who have made I mean, I do feel bad for one group of people, and that is those who have made a livelihood on there, that if it just snap gone, all the work that you did, because that takes a lot of work. Mm-hmm. But I, for all the reasons that we've talked about many times, support that ban. I mean, there's no doubt that that is a nefarious website.
It feels like it's a weapon.
Yeah, and not just to take people's data.
No,
to reprogram people's minds, especially kids.
Think a lot of these protest organizing events are coming from? They're happening on TikTok. I saw a really good video where a guy showed how with a minimal amount of money, you could create a protest that would shut down the Beltline in D.C. And he just walked everybody. He's like, this is how you would do it. This is how much it would take. Here's how you can use geofencing within TikTok to make sure that only the people there, and you could target the type of individual that would be susceptible to this. He's like, it's an absolute weapon is what this guy said. And he's a defense contractor.
Wow.
Yeah. And it doesn't surprise me, too, that TikTok itself, in the case from The Intercept, is the website that put this up. Forget a ban. Why are journalists using TikTok in the first place? Let's put it this way. Does any journalist, knowing what they know and should know about the security risks on that platform, think that anything that is transmitted through there is private? Meaning that if someone were to send you a message, and let's say as a journalist, it's sensitive information, you're using it to write an expose on whatever it is. Now, guess who also knows it? China. So that's why people and serious people don't use TikTok. It's a bunch of teenagers that don't understand the gravity of just how serious these threats are for a platform like that.
I mean, if you're a serious journalist, you're probably not on TikTok anyway for the reasons you just outlined. So the people that we're calling journalists, I don't know that they're really making that much of an impact. They're more like people who get on and share, you know, a 10-second thought on Joe Biden. A lot of these people are paid influencers, too.
Yep. The other story is this mugshot that is circulating around, and I saw this posted in a few different spots. The headline, trans sex offender busted allegedly trying to abduct elementary school kid. Have you seen this mugshot yet, Wiggins?
I haven't. No, this is, whoa.
Let's bring it up on the YouTube page.
Oh, my
gosh. That's the mugshot.
Is that
Tell
person,
me that's not
that
worse looks like than a, what you had in your mind.
That looks like a corpse photo.
Yeah, that's pretty
like
bad.
A video game NPC zombie, almost.
Yeah.
So I don't exactly know what I'm looking at here. So the person almost looks like their teeth are on sideways. And they have... Is that white powder on their face, or is that just like the way their skin is?
I can't tell.
Yeah, because it stops like at the beard.
It stops at the cheeks, yeah.
Yeah, and you don't see it on the neck. It's a black male, and his eyes are red. The teeth, again, are on sideways. And the look on his face almost looks like a video game zombie. It's the only way I can explain it.
It is
maybe
a very,
the person's on
bath salts
or something.
Blank stare.
This person is also identifying as trans.
Yep,
because that doesn't come through at all. Okay.
Because there's no indication that they are trying anything, or at least trying at all. But apparently surveillance video caught this person approaching students moments before they scattered screaming stranger danger. This is an elementary school. The person was approaching them. The white vans and, hey, I need you to help find a puppy. Can you hop in, days?
You couldn't write a villain like this person. You couldn't design one.
I guess the good news is that even a kid who sees that guy is going to go, no, thanks. No, I don't want anything that you're offering. I will go away now.
Yeah. This is like, you know, if you're walking down the street and this person is walking on the other side, you're like, we're going on the other side of the street type of thing. We're not even going to risk an encounter with this person. They just, from the looks alone, scary. All right, before we go, I know we don't got a lot of time. How did the YouTube poll results turn out?
Well, do we want to give our own before?
Yeah, let's go. Where are you at on this, Ryan Wiggins?
Ryan Wiggins, that's me.
Read the question again, if you could.
Do you support the foreign aid package passed by the House? This is a tough question because there is a part of me that wants to support Ukraine. I don't support Russia. There is a bigger part of me that wants to support Israel. Ultimately, I landed on no. I don't want to be spending this money, even though I do support Israel, especially in that war, on Ukraine to a lesser degree. But I just can't justify continuing to spend the money. And also, I'm going to say something that's rather unpopular here, even though as I'm a very, very staunch supporter of Israel as a nation, especially. Israel is not poor. Israel is not a poor nation. I don't know why we would need to financially support them, even though I do support them.
Interesting.
What about you, Ryan?
I would say I'm at the point where I think we need to pump the brakes on Ukraine. I think we've been doing it long enough in the sense that we can't put a blank check and allow to finance this forever and forever and ever. Israel, on the other hand, I say yes. I would continue to support Israel in this case. You know, when I think about the people that are our enemies in the world, I don't like Russia. I don't like Iran worse. I think Iran is worse than Russia when it comes to threats to the United States. So I think that in that case, if we're going to, I would pick Israel and continue to support them. I would start to say, Ukraine, you got to figure this out because the blank check ain't working.
All right. So with 231 votes, the lowest at 18% was yes for Ukraine. Yes for both was at 22. 29% was yes for Israel. And then at 31%, it was no, not at all.
Wow. That is very evenly split.
All right. Sounds like Annie Fry is going to be back again tomorrow. The Manny Fry Show. I always have fun. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Mark Reardon coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.